Good morning. Today is Tuesday, October the 24th. Joining us this morning is the executive director from REDEC, Greg Foster. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. We remembered to actually introduce me this time. Last month,
did I blow you off last time?
Well, we just kind of started talking.
Oh. Well, sorry I introduced you this week. Our quote this morning comes from Robert Persig, who you probably don't recognize
the name. I don't recognize the name, no.
But you recognize the title of his book, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Sure, of course. He just died last year, I believe.
Okay. Posthumous quote, then.
There you go.
Finally, you understand that the real motorcycle you're working on is yourself.
Ah, there you go.
I suppose there's lots of parallels to that one, huh?
I guess I should read the book because it's considered a classic and...
Not in the motorcycle arena.
I don't know. You know, I really don't know. I know the name of it. I think it was on my parents' shelf when I was a kid, and
consequently, you boycotted it.
You know, I don't know. I just never made the list.
So it was Hansel and Gretel. Did you get that one?
I'm sure I read that many times as a child. Yeah.
I've asked a couple of folks over the last few weeks since the fire down in Santa Rosa. Sonoma County's impacts, Mendocino and Napa County. And I don't know if this probably doesn't fall at your feet, but you kind of have an insight that some of us don't into the county structure from a less than jaundiced perspective.
Okay.
So with the fire and the number of businesses that have been burned out,
mm-hmm.
and the residents that have been burned out.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the fires are kind of dampened down a little bit with some of the rains we had last week, isn't there an opportunity there for Humboldt County to go knocking on some business doors and say, hey, we don't burn, we smolder. You know, it's an opportunity there. And we've got available retail space today.
Sure.
And if you're shipping, okay, that doesn't change anything. Obviously, if you're in the retail business, but your business doesn't have to shut down and you don't have to wait 2 to 3 years to come back up. How about thinking about us? Is there any merit to that at all?
Probably, and I think that...
That was a begrudging maybe. Okay, fine.
Well, you know, one doesn't want to... So, I mean, I think we always... It can make the argument that that for areas that are very expensive and that are and to businesses that are less locationally they can go anywhere, right?
Yeah, if you're the corner supermarket, right. Okay, it's not going to play for them.
Right. I think you can always make the argument that, you know, that we can play with those folks. And in fact, I went to this is quite a few years ago. I was at a session meeting in San Diego, and I talked to an editor from the San Diego Business Journal. And this is about 2002, 2001, I mean, quite a few years ago. And it was a session on small technology-based businesses and them coming out of these incubators that they had around the UCSD and looking for places to go. And I asked them the question after the session. I went up and I said, listen, you know, we're all the way up in Humboldt County. Do you know where that is? Yes, I've been there. Okay, great. So we can stop that. And I said, would... We have an argument or an approach that would be potentially interesting to these folks coming out of these tech incubators, small businesses. Some are single people. Some maybe have 5 employees. To get them to say, you know, think out of the box. Think Humboldt County. And he asked me 2 questions. Tell me about your telecommunications infrastructure and tell me about your air service. And at the time, we didn't even have a single fiber optic line. And in fact... You know, one of the big challenges back in, you know, the early 2000s, late 1990s, early 2000s, certainly before the first fiber optic line came in, was that you couldn't even order broadband services. Back then, kind of the T1 was...
The T1s, yeah.
Right. And there was, I had people saying, I can't even, you know, we have orders in for T1s, but we can't get it. And you know, I had just, when I had moved up here, back to Humboldt County in 1991. I was a consultant. I had most of my customers were outside the area. Probably 90, 95% of our business was out of the area. So we flew a lot, and we did a lot by, you know, fax and phone. I actually set up a bulletin board so people could transfer documents to me from out of the area, pre-internet. You know, there were days when the weather was bad where we couldn't call out because we get the all circuits are busy. And that was because the weather degraded the microwave system. That was the only way that telecommunications were going out prior to that first fiber optic line. And so, that's a long answer to your question, which is, you know, we have competitive advantages in certain ways. So could we go down to these folks now? I think we could before the fires and even after the fires and say, look at it. Now, we have some challenges now that we didn't have then. We now have two fiber optic lines, which is great. Our air service is not great, but it's, you know, we still have four departures a day on jet service. So that's pretty good. We aren't without air service, which a lot of small communities lost air service over the last few years. But our housing is not as available and as cheap as it used to be, and we have some workforce issues. So there's some other challenges we need to look at, and I think that we always need to look at our competitive advantage. Now, to answer your question specifically, you hate to try to take advantage of someone else's tragedy, and so there is something about being a good neighbor. I would say that we would say, you know, we have these advantages before or after. You may be at a particular decision point now because your business has been burned up or whatever else. But I don't want to take advantage of Sonoma County and Napa County's tragedy by coming in and saying,
well, are we concerned?
Which may be not as very.
Are we more concerned about protecting a county jurisdiction or about helping out these folks who are in business,
right,
to keep their business viable and
right,
going
right,
before they, you know, they people start buying from other folks, and now these guys are really out to lunch. They don't have anything that they can do, and they don't have any way to react. I'm thinking we're saving businesses.
Well, and I think that's the approach. Right. I'm not pillaging. Saying we don't try to message that somehow, but you just want to do it in the right way.
Hi guys, we're not on fire. Probably isn't the first way to start. KINS.
Today.
Yeah. Yeah, send me. I'll do it. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears, and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, so if the opportunity window is open, and I would think that it is, for businesses at least to consider coming to Humboldt County.
Right.
And I think that's probably all that we can do. We're not going to twist the arms. We're not going to have the incentives. We're not going to do some of the razzle-dazzle. But, you know, we've got buildings that are open.
Mm-hmm.
We've got opportunities that are here for those that don't have to be in the neighborhood. Do we have anybody who's even thinking this way or who's tasked with thinking this way and going down and making contact and talking to folks? You know, I would think the Chamber of Commerce, if presuming it's a viable one down there,
right,
would be a logical one because these folks are looking out for their members.
Right.
Rather than the jurisdictional protection of, well, we don't want anybody to leave.
Sure.
And
sure.
I know that's been something we've had to deal with here in Humboldt County, everybody protecting their turf.
Right.
But I would think that on a regional basis, this makes a lot more sense for these guys. And they'll come back.
Right,
but maybe they don't leave here also.
Sure, sure. Well, and you know, I think one of the weaknesses in Humboldt County is we don't have somebody who's tasked to do that, to market the county, you know, regardless of the fire, right? It just, hey, you know, we're the central entity that goes out and gets our marketing message out.
Day in, day out, week in, week out.
Right, yeah. And so, you know, the cities, to a certain extent, have people that do that individually, but they tend to be more reactive if someone comes in. And you know...
Knock on my door, trip me down, and see if you can get my attention to help me out.
So no, we don't have that, and we haven't invested in that locally. You know, we do a lot of...
is that an oversight?
You know, it's an oversight. It's a gap. It's whatever you want to call it. You know, we used to have. I mean, back in the quite a few years ago, and now I'm, you know,
you already said 91,
dating,
man.
Dating myself,
you're
right?
So bad already.
Yeah. Well, and we had the Humboldt Bay Alliance that's kind of started doing that, but it only lasted a couple of years, and
that was the one that followed what Humboldt Bank had done. Ted Mason and those guys,
going out
and trying to bring
right. Okay. And I think, you know, as I look back,
I just beat you on the old timer mark. I want you to appreciate that one. Okay.
Well, and as I look back, you know, you got to look at, you know, there's a time when businesses or individuals that own businesses are willing to move and not. And so some of what the timing was not great. I think it was during the 90-91. Kind of this recessionary period of then, and that's not when businesses are looking at spending a lot of money to disrupt and move. You know, they're trying maybe to hang on, and so and you know, some of the marketing is quite quaint. You know, you look at it from 25 years ago, and you know, we have a lot of more tools available now to go out and get these folks, and so I think, you know, the first part of that is knowing what your competitive advantages are. And matching those to the really good targets, as opposed to, you know, kind of doing your standard.
So who's the profile, the types of businesses that you think that could come here? Because I would imagine that shipping fees aren't going to be that drastically different from here than they are from Sonoma County, unless you're talking about rail. Okay, so there might be a little distinction there. But if we're not talking about manufacturing... We don't have that many sites anyway that could be manufacturing or the assembling of stuff. Who would be the ones that would be most apt to be able to relocate or at least put in a branch office here?
And, I mean, so that's a great question. And I think we actually don't know that answer that well, and we should. Now for me, I've always said what you need is, to go after a business where the owner is proximate to the business. That I think that
it's the owner operator,
right? It's hard for us to compete on purely business and market, criteria. That being said, we've in the past say, well, move your business here because we have a great quality of life. And that is a weak argument, right? Because ultimately, the best quality of life for the business owner is that you're making money in your business.
Success,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, we've seen businesses investing here and moving here. The Hog Island out in the Bay, you know, they've spent $4 million on a facility out there, and they're hiring people and plan to grow.
Now those guys kind of have to be here because of the water, right?
Well...
Rather than somebody who has that discretion to be able to say, yeah, I'll bring my research guys here.
Well, yeah, and, you know, they moved here because of a particular competitive advantage that we offer them, which is a super clean water to the Bay. And where they operate down in Tomales and some of these other places down there,
not so
they didn't
much.
Have that, yeah. right? And so there's places like that have, you know, we have this particular advantage, right? And you know, we really need to figure out what that is, quite honestly, because some of what I hear is pretty dated, right? And
still may be accurate,
right?
But just needs
but
to be
for example,
up.
You know, when I came back from that meeting in San Diego, and he said, you know, you're not going to attract anybody because with low property value or quality of life, if they can't fly out of here or if they can't get telecommunications access, then, you know, REDAC and others, you know, really started to focus on those two things. And so we need to look at, I mean, when you look at, and there's a, the name of the magazine escapes me, it's basically a business attraction location magazine. They talk about in there what are the top things that businesses look for attraction. You know, there's quality of life, quality of the employees, employee resource and availability.
So available labor stock.
Exactly. Public safety. You know, all you know, things that aren't necessarily rocket science, but we need to be really honest about maximizing. And right now, one of the biggest complaints I hear from local employers is they're having a hard time finding workers. So it becomes difficult. And that's actually true across the state. So is that an advantage or disadvantage, or are we just playing in par? Who knows?
It's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDAC. Talk Shop presented by Greg and Dwayne.
There you go. And I think I've said it before that Dwayne has done the painting at REDAC. So,
oh, there you go.
It's a good job.
There's all kinds of crossbreeding going
exactly,
on around here.
Exactly.
Some of the different challenges, Greg, you were talking in the earlier segments as we were discussing the potential to attract businesses up here from Sonoma. Probably not so much from Napa. I mean, that's far enough away.
Right.
The culture really isn't there. But certainly Mendocino and Sonoma counties is the workforce.
Yeah.
Now, when I say that, I immediately think drug-free. Okay.
An issue. Yep.
We have got the educational component.
Mm-hmm.
But some, you know, to me, it's not education. It's passion. It's pride of authorship.
Mm-hmm.
It's those intrinsic things that you don't teach.
Right, right.
They are.
Right.
Or they're not. Okay, those are the things that I'm thinking of rather than X number college degree or that kind of stuff.
Sure.
What are people looking for with the employment base? Is it more my definition or is it more the governmental-esque definition of what a employable workforce is?
You know, the question really depends on the employer, of course, but you know, being drug-free is a big deal, and it's particularly acute here. You know, I hear that from employers.
Does drug-free mean marijuana-free?
Well, maybe not anymore. You know, that's the question, right?
I know there's liabilities
right.
associated with it.
Right.
You know, that a lot of people would not be willing to embrace.
Right.
You know, heavy machinery,
well, exactly.
sharp tools,
exactly.
things
exactly.
like that you know.
You just can't, right? I mean, yeah. you just can't. It's hard to ask, somewhat hard to answer the question because I talk to different employers and they're looking for different things, right? So, for example, you know, I'm very much involved in the St. Joseph's Health Hospital Foundation, and we hear all the time about recruitments that are going on there. Those tend to be more skill-based, obviously. And we're not just talking doctors. I mean, we're talking pharmacists, nurses assistants,
just
you know, the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And there's a huge gap there. I mean, that's a big issue. And so, you know, and not just for us, obviously, but it's nationwide. And so when we talk to them, what are the problems you're having with recruiting? Well, just we don't have enough. We aren't generating enough of trained people from here, from our educational institutions. At the same time, we're having a hard time finding housing for the people we are recruiting.
And because it's not available, or the type of accommodations they want?
All the above. Right? And so sometimes it's just not available. It's not the right quality. I mean, our housing stock is pretty old, right? And but with, you know, if you have old housing stock with a low vacancy, you know, there's not a lot of incentive.
We need more saws and hammers to be heard.
Right.
It's kind of what you're
exactly.
saying.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, we need to look at where the current employment gaps are and say, okay, what are the true issues that are getting in our way? And begin to
not
address
the what
it.
As much as the why.
I think both. I think you need to talk to those employers and say, and they're, you know, almost every employer I talk to says, boy, I wish we had an easier time keeping and retraining employees. And then you got to kind of drill down and say, well, what does that mean? For some people, it's, I need people who are trained in specific skills, right?
Well, that's not on the marketplace. That's on the individual business.
Right.
In that scenario.
But the other is we need people that just are willing to show up every day. And
is it a cop-out to say that's just a Humboldt County thing?
No, I think we have some particularly acute issues here, right? For example, it's hard, especially in the lower, you know, the lower salary ranges, to compete with, you know, the cannabis industry, right? Traditionally, it's been, geez, I can keep people until September, and then they all go away. Well, now that we have sort of a year-round industry, that may shake out through this whole legalization thing. Who knows? You know, as margins get squeezed in that industry, you're going to see them going to more automation, I suspect, as well. And so we won't have as many jobs there. And of course, to be legal, you're supposed to be doing everything else that other businesses are doing. And so
yeah, payroll tax.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And all the above. And, you know, the labor posters and the whole nine yards. And
well, what do you sense with the squeeze that's going to be happening also with margins with the increased minimum wage? I mean, going to $15, that's going to squeeze a lot more
absolutely
people out of the workforce just because of that automation, just survival.
Yes, yes. And that's a big factor. I sit on the board of the University Center of Humboldt State, and we run all the dining services and center.
You sit on a lot of boards, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
People keep asking, so
yeah.
I keep saying yes.
Yeah.
But one of the challenges we face there going forward is that we have a lot of employees that are hourly, and our students as well. And the minimum wage increase is really dramatically increasing our costs across the board. And so, you know, what we have to do is figure out how to, you know, do with fewer employees potentially, or raise the prices on our meal
plans. Through,
right?
Or not?
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. But are you going to? Where they still have like, what's the big hamburger?
The big hamburger?
Yeah, there was a big hamburger that I used to get when I was playing ball at Humboldt.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. We probably phased that out 30 years ago.
Yeah, probably got knocked out on the nutrition thing.
Yeah,
anyway, you know, you spend $12 for a hamburger. There's a carrying capacity and it's not going to happen.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly right now we're looking at our five-year budget projection and we're trying to figure out, you know, where are we going to go and how we're going to have to adjust to a lot of factors going forward.
I think it was called a lager.
Okay, perfect. I'll ask around next time.
Hey, guys, 35 years ago. Anybody know what
it's
the
probably half
was
the
called?
Size now.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beanie lager. It's 8:42.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. What'd I say? Ah.
Oops.
All right, screw it. Let's start all over.
Let's try that again.
Yeah. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Foster. Greg, the concept of labor has always been challenging, but it's also one of the things is kind of your guys' fundamental foundation block. You know, getting out of the logging industry with Redwood Park 1 and 2.
Right, right.
And that they needed somebody, some entity to save the day. And we can argue whether or not the day was saved or not.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, there's been a lot of changes, and some of those challenges are kind of at your guys' feet, to either to solve them or to find them or to deal with them.
Right, right. And, you know, REDEC is getting ready to celebrate its 40th anniversary next month, which I actually kind of stumbled upon because someone said, I need a copy of your joint powers agreement that created you. And I said, oh, my gosh, look, that's 40 years ago, the effective date. And, you know, the theory back then was they were going to create this little loan fund and kind of backfill, you know. And that doesn't solve all the world's problems. We play a specific niche, obviously. And, you know, what we do is try to put money in the hands of people who are building and owning businesses and expanding businesses. And what's interesting about REDEC is we don't get any funding. We have to manage our portfolio, and that's how we fund ourselves. And so that's what we do. You know, that's our core business, and we make loans every month to businesses who have that financing gap. And we've grown quite a bit. You know, I think in 2003, we had about $2.9 million worth of loans out. Last month, I think our number was, I can tell you, I'll pull it out. Our number here was about $8.3 million out in loans. And those are the loans that we directly manage the money. And then we have another now $700,000-$800,000 in other loans that we service for other people. So, and I might add, that increase was without any increase in staff. So, to that point.
You didn't say increase in quality of staff, though, I noticed.
But much better staff.
There you go.
Much better
staff.
Now
you can return.
Other than the executive director, much better staff. So, you know, we play that role, and we've tried, you know, I believe that a couple of things, one of which is that, and why I'm such a big supporter of the Small Business Development Center, that is, we're not going to lend our way into prosperity, that we play that role, but there are other things that need to happen. And one of it really is creating a regulatory and a policy environment that's encouraging for business entrepreneurship. And, you know, that can be challenging in California.
Somebody to go to bat for
the
business guys.
Yeah.
Kind of like what a chamber might do, but in a little bit different scenario.
Right, right. And so, you know, each of our cities has its own chamber, and many of them have their own economic development staff. And so what we try to do is a couple of things. Try to bring some good ideas that are regionally based, or work on projects that are kind of falling through the gaps or regionally focused. And so, and then we do it all, fund it all by making loans.
What is the biggest misnomer that the community still has about REDEC?
I think that they think we're bigger than we are. We really are a small group. We aren't funded. We don't get any revenue other than our loan portfolio, income from our loan portfolio. And so, we have quite honestly a limited ability to do certain things. That being said, we have, you know, we do take on projects that we feel that have regional importance.
So tours are available.
Yeah.
Autograph sessions.
Yeah,
later on
yeah.
This
but
week.
All three rooms.
All right.
The first REDEC office was in the Eureka Inn in 1977.
Boy, doesn't that say something? Probably up in the balcony next to Frank Riggs' office.
Yeah, maybe so.
Thanks for coming by, bud. See everybody tomorrow.